Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Good morning, Doug.
And we're also joined by our very vibrant and excited and happy. Good morning, John Peters. How you doing today, John?
Peachy keen. How you guys?
We're good. Doing well, buddy. So how's the week been for you guys so far? Dennis, the sunshine in here. Dave, in Hawaii, you can tune this part out if you don't want to hear about the weather. But the sun is out.
Yeah, it's been, you know, a fairly sunny weekend, although it didn't, it wasn't forecast, at least up here, to be as good as it turned out. So, yeah, it's been pretty awesome after all those days in a row of clouds and rain and all that stuff. However, it's supposed to rain tonight, so it's going to end soon.
Yeah, possible severe thunderstorms here tomorrow, but it's been nice. I washed the vehicles at home with a nice sunny day. It was actually nice to get outside, and it's been like 70s. We got a couple spring days then instead of it being actual summer.
Yeah, you're right. It's been glorious weather here for the past handful of days.
And John, you're sweating your you-know-whats down there, right?
Oh yeah, we're full bore summer already, and I've noticed a couple of different Facebook groups and stuff of people complaining about the weather in Florida in the summertime. If you come to Florida in the summer, it's gonna rain every afternoon. There's nothing you can do about it. It's a fact. Especially in Orlando, the sea breezes collide right over the city of Orlando, right over Disney World. You're going to have an afternoon thunderstorm every day. The good part is it only lasts about 20 to 25 minutes on average. So, I mean, it's amazing. I've been reading these people that their whole vacation is ruined because it rained every day. Well, how did you not know it was going to rain every day?
Right.
But it's Florida. But you guys needed it really bad, so it's a good thing.
Yeah, it's finally – we finally got the afternoon thunderstorms, and in addition, we might have a tropical depression moving in over Wednesday and Thursday, and then we might get gouts of rain, which would definitely help our whole fire situation that we've been dealing with. So.
Yeah, and I've been I'll tell you guys what. I've been dealing with a Universal trip, and my customers that are asking for information, like, no, with Disney, with my Disney experience, how you can get on there and start enjoying the trip. When you book a trip as an agent with Universal, like, your clients can't even get into the website and sign in and create an account as far as and see their trip. How weird is that?
Yeah, I guess we're spoiled with the Disney stuff. You're right. You can be as hands-on as you want. I mean, you can use a TA and have them do everything, or you can get in there and book everything from, dinner shows to ADRs to, fast passes, the whole nine yards. You can really, tailor your trip the way you want it.
Yeah, it's just been, like the airfare, you can't hook that up until 2 weeks before the trip.
Oh boy!
like Disney, I can, if you book airfare the same. If you book it before I book the trip, I can add it on to the reservation. And it's done and it's over with. Now the girl goes, well, there's nothing we can really do. We can add it now, but they're still going to send you out a letter, and you're going to have to call us back and reconfirm it. So okay, then why am I going to do it now? It makes no sense. Right. I mean, don't get me wrong. The girls and the gentlemen who I've been talking to are very nice. It's just the system is so. It's just so different than dealing with what Disney does. If they were going to copy anything that Disney does, basically they copy most, they should start copying the way they do their reservations and stuff like that, in my opinion, because it's a totally different animal.
Hey, yeah. Doug, what group are you sending to Universal? Is it a family or just a couple of adults? Or
no, it's a family of six. Four adults and two children.
I got a blog that I wrote up about touring Universal. I'm going to text it over to you when we're done, and then you can forward that to them if you want. It's just got some hints and stuff about specifically the differences between touring Disney and touring Universal, the different things that you have to do. So.
Okay, and then if they have a bad trip, I can blame you, and I'm out of the coming clear.
Exactly.
No, that would be awesome, John. I will send it over to them. Yeah, it's just a totally different animal. Speaking of animals, my poor buddy Presley scared us yesterday. We had to take him to the doctors.
Well, what did he do now?
He didn't do it. It's getting the weather changing all here, and his coat got really long. And they cleaned themselves a lot like a cat to Keyshawn. I read up about it and blah, blah, blah. Well, he's been getting sick to his stomach a lot the past few days. Well, here we took him to the vet. To the groomer. We got him groomed and got his hair shaved down. But he was still spitting up. Like he would get all fired up, get all overheated, and then he would get sick. Well, it happened for a couple days. So Friday, Saturday morning, the dog, he was okay, but he wasn't looking like himself. And then you get nervous. You know, he's your boy. And it kind of had me, nervous wreck. And we finally took him over to the vet. And thank God he has a severe – he has a body allergy that's really bad. Like he's all – and what he was doing, he was coughing. We were worried about something with the heart because they say when a dog coughs, it's his heart. You got to worry about all – so, when it's your baby like that, you make a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, you think the worst. That's what happens, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But it was so bad, though. Like, he's acting like that here. I take him to the vet. He looks like a thoroughbred now. His chest is all out. He's not coughing. He's not licking. He's staring down the other dog. It's like, dude, you at home, you're getting sympathy from us. Now you're here. You're the king of the jungle again. Like, what's up with you?
Well,
so he's, like, making a liar out of me.
Yeah, but didn't you say when you get him shaved, he usually gets like a little embarrassed or something for a day or two till he gets used to it? Didn't you tell me that?
Yeah, you remember that, and it's true because that's what I kept telling Brent. But then he got up Saturday morning and spit up a little white foam again because he's licking himself. But it happened so many days in a row where now we're getting nervous. So for peace of mind, we end up taking him over, and thank God everything came back good, but they gave him a steroid. Just what I need, this dog on steroids. So I'm saying to my wife, we're pumping this idiot up on steroids. You understand this? And then he had to take an antibiotic. So now he's eating now he has to eat whatever he wants because he needs food in him because of the antibiotics. So now he's going to be spoiled for the next 2 weeks. I think it's all a ruse.
Does he eat pills easily, or you got to hide it in cheese or something like that?
Yeah, well, the crazy part is I never knew this. Like, this antibiotic that he's taking, cheese will counteract it where it dilutes it. It won't make it work.
So I can't put in cheese.
No, so what I did is I went out. We boil the fresh chicken for him all the time. So we hide it in the chicken and turkey. So the kid's going to be on a chicken and turkey diet. He's going to be on steroids eating nothing but protein for the next 2 weeks. So if I don't make it to next week's show, you guys know my dog took me out.
Well, the tryptophan will kind of offset the steroids, even if Pat doesn't believe it.
I'm hoping, dude. But no. But anyway.
Dog with roid rage.
Yes, and it's funny, because I had to put the muzzle on him for the vet. And she's like, I said, I think I ought to put it on. And she goes to touch his belly, and I thought her arm was gone. I had to double check to make sure it was there. So anyway, I put the muzzle on him. But I put the muzzle on him upside down. I don't know if you guys have ever done this.
Oh, yeah. I had to muzzle one of my shepherds, even though he was sweet as pie when he went into the vet. Same thing. If you start touching sensitive areas, he'd snap a little bit. So I'd always put it on just to be safe.
Yeah, well, if you put it on backwards, which my vet was cracking up, she's been my vet for a while, Debbie. She's actually friends of mine. I did work on her house. She's a sweetheart. She's a wonderful vet. So I put it on backwards, and she's like, "Do you know you have it on backwards?" I said, "Yeah, because what it does is it also covers his eyes, so he can't see if you put it on upside down." And the reason I do it at the vet, it's a good tip because until she's touching him, he can't see.
Right.
Because if it's the other way, he'll be lunging. Dude, he goes off. I mean, he'll flip upside down trying to get that off him when he's right. So anyway, I had to hold him up in the air and let her look at his belly, and he's going nuts. It was like I was holding the grizzly bear in the vet yesterday. But at the end of the day, he was very, very good, and it took a load off my mind. My buddy's going to be okay. So.
Yeah, what are you, about 200 shy in the wallet now or more?
Dude, all that, the medication, my vet is awesome. And it's a hospital, too. It's Cross Keys Animal Hospital, it's called. They do a wonderful job there. For the medication, the trip, the whole nine yards, was only $73.
Oh, that's a bargain.
Yeah, no kidding. I don't think I can get a vet visit for $73, much less the medicine and everything.
They're phenomenal to us. I mean, that's why you don't mind. I don't mind. I didn't know what it was going to be. I came home and joked to Brett, and I said it was $573. She says, okay, I'll write it down. Right? I'm like, no, hon, it was $73. Like, she didn't care. All she cared about is her boy was okay.
Yep.
So,
yeah, you would have paid whatever it was. Money is irrelevant when it comes to that stuff.
Nah, he's our baby boy, so we were happy he was okay. Then I was telling John, but we'll get into this. First of all, we need to say the joy of tea as many times on this show as possible for our buddy Pat.
Yeah.
So all you listeners of the WDW Main Street podcast, on your next trip to Epcot, you got to head over to the Joy of Tea. Pat wants you to go there, so make sure you guys do that.
I actually have a buddy that lives in Brazil, and he's bringing up some tourist groups this summer, so I'm going to send them all over to the Joy of Tea.
Oh, boy.
And tell them to comment to the cast member how cheap it is over here.
What a great deal this is. I can't believe you don't charge double this. I mean, golly.
Poor Pat.
But anyway, before we get into the show, speaking of small engine repair, I was telling John this story this week. I'm driving down the road, and tell me you don't love these idiots during the summertime that take their mower and cut the grass going perpendicular or parallel with you, with the blades pointing out, so you get shot with rocks, branches, and stones as you're driving by.
Oh, yeah, that's always nice.
I mean, what is wrong with these people? Dennis, when you cut your lawn, do you, like, face the discharge part towards the road?
No, because I clean the front of the road when I'm done cutting the grass, I always put it in towards the yard a pile.
Or if a car's coming, disengage the blades. Like, I go driving down the road. Luckily, it was in my pickup truck because it would have been in the car. It would have been even worse. But I stop them and yell at them, like, what is wrong with you? I had two rocks hit my truck.
Right.
I mean, what do you – I asked him what is wrong. And he's asking me what my problem is. I'm like, I apologize, dude. Every day I want rocks hitting my truck as I'm driving down the road. I mean, so to add a little bit of small engine repair, please put your discharge back towards the house. Blow your windows out, not mine.
Yeah.
You're that big of an idiot.
Right, because you know the damage that's going to be done is going to be so minor that your insurance isn't going to pay, and, you know, you're going to have to either live with it or get it fixed, so you're stuck.
Yeah, who wants a door ding for $5? It's a $500 deductible to get a door ding taken out.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just idiots. But anyway, that's my problems this week. Do you guys have any?
No, I'm totally normal. Everything's good.
No, I'm always the crybaby of the show. But anyway, we want to tell you guys that I'm going to read a couple articles from our website. Our buddy Bob, it's all in WDW. He actually did the $80 a day challenge. I don't know if you read the article on our site then.
Oh, yeah, I did. It ended not like I thought it was going to. He did a good job.
Yeah, he always does a good job. Don't pick on Bob that bad. He might not write no more. I'm just kidding.
No.
No, he did $80 a day, but he tried to say he could do it with both him and Mary, but they failed, but they did succeed. Because really, the two of them would have $160, but they tried to do it on $80 for the two of them.
Right.
But
right.
They failed, but they ate very good. And they give some very good tips of different things that they like to eat than what we did on the show the other day with the Mickey dudes. We had a good time with them guys too.
Oh yeah, it was real fun.
Even Dave was okay.
Well, yeah, but we did catch a lot of flack from the ladies about Dave's little stroll over to Hannah's.
Oh boy.
I told them that, and I told them that they play by the rules, and then Carmen's trying to say she wouldn't have. So. They're all troubled, Dennis. We're just trying to put a good show out, and all they want to do is all of them want to start trouble with us, Dan.
Yeah, yeah. It was fun, but we did, although we did let Dave do that, it really didn't count towards his total, so I guess it didn't matter in the end.
No, we let him cheat a little bit. But anyway, headed back over to our website. It's all on WDW. You can Bob did a great article. He did the $80 a day, so you can read that article, which was very good. And then he also did another fine article on one of your favorite places, Dan. He did the dining recon over at the Tar Club. That's over on the that's the what is it? The road
club.
I was kidding. The Tar Club. That's over at the road department. They have a restaurant in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The Turf Club at the bar is the bar and grill at Saratoga Springs Resort and Spa. So that's one of your favorite places to eat, isn't it, Dan?
It is. Being a DVC member at Saratoga, I've eaten there many times. And I've said that it is a hidden gem. And I agreed with everything Bob wrote. Not a place you're going to look to go to, or I would even recommend going to if you're staying, you know, in most places on property. But if you're in the neighborhood, you should pop in and check it out.
Yeah, well, I liked him on the pool table. I'd have to show him what's up with that. But besides that, the article was great.
Yeah, yeah, it was a great article.
Yeah, I mean, they have some really good things on this on the menu, too. I mean, they have a good diversified menu. There's a little bit of everything on it, which I like.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say they have a premier dish there, but I've had probably most things on the menu at least once or tried a bite of somebody else's that I was dining with. So, yeah, always good, never disappoints. And I think the outdoor seating there is a big bonus. If you can score a table outside, you can kind of overlook where the Sasagula empties out into the, you know, the large body of water out there. And you can see, you know, Disney Springs and hop on a boat there and go to the springs if you'd like. So it's a great, great location. And like I said, the food is, I'd say, a little better than average. It's not, you know, five-star dining, but it is certainly, you know, enjoyable food.
And it's not going to hurt your pocket either. So
yeah, it's reasonable.
No, it's a very nice place. I've been over there. I've said it before. I've shot some pool and grabbed a couple appetizers and a beer, you know, and I've really enjoyed it there. So head on over to our website. It's all in WDW. You can check out all of our articles, and you can even check out our sponsors. We have David's on there now, and then Garden Grocer will finally be going on there this week, I'm hoping, because we got all of our banners finally to put on the website. So we are sorry, guys. We know they've been a sponsor for a little bit, and you guys have been wanting to use our tab, and we really, really appreciate it. But we've just been waiting for the information to be sent to us. But they've been really busy, to Garden Grocer, taking care of you guys in the resort. So we forgive them. So.
No, that's – yeah, that's awesome. That's going to be up and running this week. I'm itching to make some purchases on there for my trip in the fall. So I'm going to book early and save that 15% or whatever it is.
I think it's even 20 as far as you are, maybe. I don't know. But yeah. I think you'll be close to that.
Yeah, I'm going to check it out, and I'm going to use it and see what this is all about.
No, so, but anyway, yeah, head on over there and read some of the fine articles. And then, Dennis, I'll tell you what I did do this week. I got some – before we head into the news, your news part of this show.
Okay.
I made these shrimp and fish tacos that were so good. I got brownie points for – they're the new official taco of the house. I made my wife happy for a week. They were so good. I did a grilled tilapia. I made the shrimp in lemon, garlic, and lime. They came out phenomenal. Then I got red cabbage. I put it in the food processor and sliced it down. A little bit of romaine, grapefruit, blood oranges, mangoes, all diced up and in the slaw, and the juice put in there. I put fresh corn on the cob on the grill and grilled that with butter and garlic, and then I chopped all the corn down and put into the slaw, and all that covered the shrimp and fish taco. How good does that sound?
It sounds delicious. What did you use for a like a tortilla or whatever? What did you use?
I bet a corn tortilla. That's what he used.
No. What is perfect for this is they sell the whole wheat and whole grain, the boats.
Oh, okay. I know
what you
mean.
The boat tacos, oh, it's phenomenal. You place, this is how you work it. You place three shrimp on the bottom of it. They fit perfectly. Then you dice up the tilapia all the way around it. And then you put the orange mango grapefruit slaw on top of it. Oh, my God. Was it good, guys?
It does sound delicious. The only thing, I don't like grapefruit, so I might omit that. But the rest sounds pretty tasty.
All I did with the grapefruit and the oranges, to be honest with you, I juiced them over it. I didn't put the actual grapefruit in there because it's a little too bitter.
Yeah.
To eat that, especially this time of year. But what it was is the juice offset it. And then it also had a little jalapeno, a little diced scallion, and diced green pepper in there too.
Then you put a big old sprig of cilantro on top, right?
No. Cilantro was not in there. But no, it was not a green pepper. I had the scallion was the green pepper. I had a little bit of red onion in there too.
Okay.
All done in the processor, all sliced up into a slaw. Oh, my goodness. We had it 2 days.
It does sound good. And if you just, like you said, just juice the, you know, the grapefruit over and the orange over the slaw, that would work. I think the texture of the actual, you know, grapefruit, that's what would turn me off if the whole, you know, if you put the actual fruit in there.
Yeah, what I did is I diced up, I diced up the mango. And then the juices of an orange, the juices of a grapefruit, a half a grapefruit, not a whole, the juices of a lime and juices of a lemon. I sprayed all over the cabbage, the romaine, and the all the other vegetables, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, it makes it real tasty, and you're not using something fatty like mayonnaise or something like that, so it's all healthy.
This time of year, it's a perfect summer treat.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? They were awesome. My wife, she ate. And my wife's not a huge eater. She ate both of hers, and I had a half of one left. And she goes, "You're not going to eat that?" I was like, "I got points here, boy." She loved it. So it made me very happy.
Did you see this recipe in a book or something? Or you just kind of concocted this out of your head?
Concocted it out of my head. What I did is I decided I'm going to make my wife fish tacos. I got done early Friday. I went to our local stand. I walked around and grabbed everything I thought would be good in it. I came home and put it together.
Well, you should do one of those shows on TV, you know, where they time you and you got to run through the supermarket and pick up some items and then make something from it.
My wife liked it so much. She wants me to write it down so we have it. She don't want me to forget this recipe. So that makes you feel good when you do something like that. You know, when you see somebody enjoy something that much that you've made, really makes you feel good. So.
Yeah, well. We had a can of Dinty Moore stew. No, I'm only kidding.
No.
No, I'm only kidding.
In January or February, that would be awesome. But the thing of it is that recipe, I'll give it to you guys if you want it. I'll break it down for you. But the thing of it is, it's a great summer meal. Like, John, wouldn't that be good on the days you're having right now?
Yeah, it sounds like be a little cool and refreshing. Yeah. So.
Have yourself a nice Victory Cage Rattler with it, the citrus cage rattler. It was awesome, dude.
Oh, yeah, that's a good pairing.
Yes, I was living large on Friday night and yesterday because she goes, because there was so much slaw left because you have to make more of the red cabbage and everything else. That's what makes it look good.
Yep.
But, we had so much of the cabbage left over, the slaw, that she goes, we're going back to the supermarket and get two more pieces of tilapia and another half a pound of shrimp, and that's what we're having. Because my mother-in-law can't have fish, so I did hers with the chicken.
Nice.
Dice up the chicken and all and put in there. They were really good, guys. So let's get into the news. If you need to know anything about cooking or small engine repair, contact us at the WDW Main Street Podcast at gmail.com.
Here we go. Themed Entertainment Association Global Attractions Attendance Report for 2016. Let me see. Universal One. No. The Themed Entertainment Association, TEA, and AECOM, AECOM, has today published the 2016 Theme Index, Global Attractions Attendance Report. This industry report provides a guide to theme park attendance worldwide, giving estimates of attendance change year on year. Disney and most other large theme parks do not provide any official attendance figures, so this report represents the only published estimate of attendance. Let's see, the Magic Kingdom continues as the world's most visited theme park with just under 20.4 million guests in 2016, a slight decrease of a 0.5% from 2015. Epcot saw a decrease of 0.7% to just under 11.8 million guests. Disney's Hollywood Studios was down just 0.5% to just under 10.8 million guests, and Disney's Animal Kingdom saw a 0.7% change to just over 10.8 million guests. Over at the water parks, both Typhoon Lagoon and Blizzard Beach saw a decrease in attendance, with Typhoon Lagoon receiving just under 2.3 million visits and down 0.7%. And Blizzard Beach saw just under 2.1 million, down 0.8%. The decrease in attendance reported to the TEA report mirrors comments made in the Walt Disney Company earnings report that attendance during 2016 was down on previous years, although guest spending was up. Outside of Disney, Universal saw an increase in attendance at both parks, up 4.3% at Universal Studios Orlando and up 6.5% at Islands of Adventure. SeaWorld's Rough Ride continues, down 7.9% and dropping to 25 in the most visited theme parks list worldwide. It probably has a lot to do with that whitewater thing, I'm guessing. But here is a summary of percentage change from last year at the main parks throughout the world. So number one was Magic Kingdom, was down 0.5%. Disneyland was down 1.8%. Tokyo Disneyland, third, comes in at minus 0.4%. Universal Studios Japan, 4.3%. Tokyo Disney Sea was down 1%. And Epcot, as we said, was down 0.7%. Disney's Animal Kingdom was down 0.7%. Disney's Hollywood Studio was down 0.5%. Then goes at 9. Universal Studios Florida was up 4.3%. Islands Adventure was up 6.5%. Then we go to number 11. California Adventure was down 0.9%. 13, Disney Park at Disneyland Paris was down 14.2%. Wow, that's a big number. Mm. Hong Kong Disneyland was down 10.3%. Walt Disney Studios Paris was down 1.6%. And then, as we said, SeaWorld was down 7.9%.
But the biggest loser in that story was Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I don't really keep up on the overseas parks, but for some reason, attendance was took a huge hit in 2016. I can't say what the reason is. You guys have any thoughts on that?
All the reasons I get, and it's not, and believe me, guys, I'm not just doing this to start trouble, but all the articles I read on this, because I did some reading, and I watched a couple things on it, and they're blaming everything on ticket prices. They're saying people are really starting to get annoyed by the price gouging of the tickets. That was most of the articles that I've read.
Right. It's a good reason as any, because I don't have one.
No, and that was the reason. Almost every single article that I've read about this is that they're the percentage of the prices raised in the ticket prices totally is much larger than what the average home income is rising every year. It's like Disney's raising five times the amount as what our incomes are raising every year, of what they're charging for their ticket prices, is what one of the articles said. And I think John even said that before.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I wish we all had jobs where our raises were as much as Disney increases their tickets every year. Can you imagine getting a 15% bump on twice a year? Wouldn't that be sweet? So,
yeah. I mean, and that's the point. That was the article I was writing. It's like The Disney – us geeks are going to go regardless. But the family that's on the fence and last year ticket prices for a family of four was – yeah, when it becomes a few hundred dollars more, that can make or break a trip.
Yep. Yeah, and the sad thing is, you know, what will happen is they'll just – keep increasing prices and people get shut out, like you said, the people that are on the fence or can't afford it, and the people that can afford it, like us, and then the people that really can afford it, that stay, you know, in the deluxes and, you know, participate in all those expensive extras that we always say, you know, we're not going to do that. Those people will just pick up the slack, and, you know, the man on the bottom will lose out, or the family in the bottom will lose out, because, you know, like we keep saying, it ain't stopping. Even, you know, we've gone through some tough financial times, and they sweeten the pot with free dining and things like that, but they continue to raise ticket prices even through all of that for the most part. I would expect two increases this year, as we've had in the past several years, staring us in the face, right?
Don't you think this is exactly what Disney kind of wants, though? I mean, because their profits still went up. So, because each guest isn't spending a little more. So, even though their attendance was down a little bit, their profit margins are higher. So, I mean, that's probably what Disney wants. If they can get away with a couple of fewer cast members because the attendance is down, but they're still making more money, then that's exactly what they want. So, yeah. You know,
think of it, John. They'll never admit this, but they'd rather have guests in their parks that they know have a larger income, therefore can spend more money on souvenirs and all that extra stuff that they can charge for. I mean, they'll never admit that, but do they want a guy there that's bringing in the peanut butter sandwiches that, you know, isn't at the counter service restaurants and spending money? No, if you ask them, they'd say they'd rather have the guy that is peeling $100 bills off his roll and buying all that extra stuff.
Yeah, they'd rather have that. But, as you guys say, at the end of the day, dude, it's the middle class that drives this country. And if they get to the point where us, which we're barely middle class, you know, but when it becomes to the point where, okay, then if it's $1,000 more a year for your just expenses, are you going to be able to go twice a year or as much as you want to go a year? Yeah.
That would that second trip would be in the balance.
It's starting to get to the point where it's at the tipping point where, you know, thank God I have the deals I do, but because if I had to go regular, I'd be having problems. I couldn't stomach it in some ways.
Yeah. Totally understand what you're saying, but you better be ready to have those conversations because I know two rants you're going to have in this coming year, and they're going to happen one in August and whenever the other one is. I think it's going to be fairly soon. It's happening, and it'll be more than 2 or 3%, I'm willing to bet.
No, it's just and the point is there's a tipping point for everything. All good comes to an end if you don't watch yourself on a lot of things. I mean, perfect example. Look, Target thought they were on top of the world, and bang, look at all the problems they've had. You know what I mean? Every company will go through it, and Disney's been through it once before too. Yeah. You know, and we remember those days. So, I mean, it gets to the point where I remember my buddy Bob told me when I went in business, there's being a pig and then there's being a hog. You know, and those words always stuck with me. You know, I mean, you can try to make it, but you can't kill people. And it's to the point where if they keep doing these twice a year over the next few years, Dennis, you get, like John said, you're not getting two raises a year, are you?
Nope. Some years I get none.
Yeah, exactly, because we're at our ages, we're getting to the point at our jobs where it is what it is.
I'm maxed out. You know, they can only pay you so much, right?
Exactly. So, and that's the problem with all this. I mean, there's been a lot of rumblings, and I hope it don't change, because the other problem is, too, right now, is they're even killing you now as far as they don't have enough value inventory at all. There's not enough value parks. The All-Stars, you can't even find rooms in them of the year now.
Right. You're right, Doug. And I did, I was looking to, you know, potentially change my accommodations for my fall trip. And I did David's. I went in through our site. You know this. We spoke. And there's nothing in the DVC inventory that they could get or to sell me points to, you know, do a David's. And I even tried to buy some points from somebody. I'm all out of borrowed all my points, so my personal account is empty. But I have a friend that owns the two resorts, Animal Kingdom and Saratoga, and she was going to sell me some, and she called down to Disney to see to get me in, and they told her that there is nothing available on any of the DVC, DVC resorts, barring there may be a couple of three-bedroom, you know, units or something like that. But we only wanted a studio, and there is nothing available for the time that we're going in November, you know, this fall. So, yeah, things are tight down there inventory-wise for rooms. You're right, Doug.
And it's DVC mostly. Like, I can get online right now and book a room at any resort deluxe.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at those prices, and the deluxe ones that are available are the deluxe to the deluxe. And the point of it is none of – if you're at Disney World, they're beautiful resorts, but to pay for the best room in any of those, as much as you're going to be in the room, the standard room in the deluxes are enough. That's what we usually do when we did stay – when we do stay in them. But the point of it is they're all the deluxe or the water views, and – the prices are, like, insane, and the problem they're having right now is with Coronado and Caribbean Beach being down, and all the values get sold out first now, because most people, they'd rather stay at the value because they're going to be at the parks all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of them. So, and I think, and they're doing this, I think, on spite, too. They're trying to get more and more people to book the deluxe. I think that's what they're trying to do. Let people run that credit card up on the deluxe. You understand? Yep. I mean, and go that way, because the thing of it is with the DVC, from what Melissa was telling me at David's and from other people, they're so booked because their prices are so reasonable compared to what Disney is. If you book through them, what would you say, Dana? I mean, don't hold me to this. It's probably, what would you say, 40% cheaper booking through around that area?
Math. Yeah, rough math. It's about 40%. Absolutely. It's a great value, especially if you're staying, you know, a longer stay like we are, 9 days. I'm trying to remember what it was, but, you know, it was, I'm going to say around $800, $900 cheaper than booking just a moderate at
Riverside.
You know, yeah, Riverside versus staying at Saratoga or Old Key West or what was the third option? The Animal Kingdom Lodge, the DVC. What's Kendani? Excuse me.
Yeah, their standards are the boardwalk standard and the Animal Kingdom standard are great. They're cheaper to stay for the week through Davidson is staying at a moderate.
Right. And, you know, I've tried over the years. I don't know if you've been successful, John, but, you know, Beach Club and Boardwalk, when you get around food and wine, unless you own at those two resorts, and even then, if you didn't book at 11 months, you have pretty much zero chance of getting in there.
We lucked out one time, and we were on the waiting list, and we got bumped to Boardwalk somehow for a couple of days. But it was during Food and Wine, but it was actually checking in on a Tuesday and leaving on a Friday morning. So that I think that's how, because it was the weekdays. But, yeah, the weekends are impossible to get.
Yep.
Yeah, but their inventory right now is so hard to find what you want.
Yeah, it used to be years ago, you know this, you could pretty much stay wherever you wanted. I mean, as long as you had the money, you could, you know, there were rooms available, especially if you booked a year out. But now, sometimes even a year out, your favorite resort or category in that resort might not be available.
Yeah, I was calling for people, like I said, with the December deal, and nothing was there for what they wanted, if you follow me. So it's tough right now.
Yeah, and it probably lines up with the fact, you know, I keep saying it, where they keep cranking down on the free dining. You know, they really don't have to do that anymore, and I guess it proves it with the, you know, lack of room inventory and, you know, all that stuff. It kind of goes hand in hand, I think.
No, well, anyway, hopefully things change, but I don't see it changing anytime soon. But I was shocked to see Universal up. Not shocked, but, I mean, that probably hit Disney a little bit, seeing them up 4.3%. That's a pretty big rise when you're dropping. And the other thing I was shocked about, the ODC, I guess nobody's going there, so Hollywood Studios didn't have much attendance to lose with the only 5%. That park lost the least amount.
Yeah. Well, I guess you're right. 5% of a smaller number, right? So you're right. It may not, you know, you got to delve a little deeper into the numbers on the surface. I mean, when the Magic Kingdom loses 1% as the most visited theme park in the world, it means more than, you know, the studios or one of them other parks that has much smaller attendance numbers.
Exactly. But if you look at it, it's like, man, the studios did the best of all of them. Really? They didn't.
Right, right. Speaking of the studios, we'll just put that in there. Do we want to mention the rumor we heard, or do we not want to mention
that? Yeah, we can mention that. We heard a rumor out there that – we're not going to say where it came from, but we heard a rumor that the great movie ride Days Are Numbered.
Yeah, I was sad to hear that. And, you know, where we heard it from was a source that we can't disclose. But, and I texted back to, Doug, and I think we're all on the chain there. But, that we all heard this, if you remember, early on when all these, Star Wars Land what's the other
Toy
one?
Story.
Toy Story Land. Yeah, when all that was announced, it was a hot and heavy rumor that it was going to close then. But then Classic Turner got involved, and they did that little revamp in the front, and they put the name up and all that, and we thought it was going to be saved. And unfortunately, sadly so for myself, because that's one of my favorite attractions in all of Disney World, they claim that it's going to go bye-bye and fairly soon. And the message to the listeners are, if you're heading down there anytime soon, you probably want to do that at least once, if not more, if you enjoy that attraction, because it's probably not going to be there much longer.
And we're hoping we're wrong. So, and take this as a rumor. It's what we heard. The thing I'm wondering is I was hoping, because I texted back to him to say we're going down hopefully at the end of the year, and think it'll still be there then, because I wanted to get one last ride. And from what they're telling me is it don't look like it's even a month or two.
Wow.
It's what, maybe three at the most. So
I mean, yeah, that I mean, you know, Maelstrom bothered me, but this is going to bother me more than Maelstrom, believe it or not. I mean, this attraction, just I have so many memories, and, you know, I don't know, maybe it's, you know, some people think it's kind of corny and old, and it is, and probably needed to be, you know, updated a lot more than it was with just the facelift that they did a couple years back. But yeah, this one's going to bother me, because this is one of my mainstays at Disney World.
No, it's going to freak me out. I'm going to be sad when it's gone, because like you said, Dan, I have some great memories, you know, with my father and all on there. It's one of the rides that he really enjoyed. You know, it was his style of ride. He loved that. He loved Kilimanjaro Safari. He loved a lot of the classics, Pirates, Haunted Man. He liked that stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to miss it, because it's like a staple in the park.
Right. And then, you know, as you responded in the, text chain, I mean, you're hoping they're going to save the building and just put something else in there, which could happen, I suppose. Or maybe they raised the whole thing to make space for some, you know, new attraction in Star Wars Land. Again, we didn't get any more details than what we disclosed right now. But, it's going to be a whole different studios, that's for sure.
What's your thoughts, John?
The Great Movie Ride was one of my favorite attractions of all time, but about 7 years ago, we had a horrible experience on it. So we have neither me nor my wife nor my son have rode it since then. So it's kind of a personal story I can tell you guys off the air, but we haven't been on it in many years. So
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, we might stop the show right here so we can know what the heck happened. I don't know. Do you think – what's your thoughts on – I don't know if – like one way I think they'll keep the building, because it's like you say, Dan, the weenie of the park. But
right.
John said off the air to me he thinks they might take it down, and it might become Tower of Terror that becomes the new weenie of the park and redesign it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's a good point. I mean, where they have that new gateway coming in there by on the Pop Century side, over on that side, if they, you know, maybe it's going to be redesigned where that's not going to be a quote-unquote another entrance or a back entrance, but maybe they make that the main entrance. And if they did that, they could probably get the tower of, you know, somehow as the, you know, I guess, I don't know. Now that I'm saying it, that's probably not feasible, because they'd have to change the whole, roadway and all that. But you're right. I think the Chinese theater is the main, you know, weenie, if you will, of Hollywood studios, and it'd be tough to take it down. I mean, maybe they leave the facade up and, you know, change the building, you know, behind it, and, you know, put something else new up there, and still, like I said, keep the facade with all the, you know, the stuff that you can see coming up the main drag there. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see, you know, how many attractions are going to go in Star Wars land and what they need for land. And, you know, there's a good chance, like I said, that this has always been slated to come down, or at least be utilized to put one of the Star Wars attractions in all the time. They just didn't announce it till now, or at least, you know, we think they're going to announce it now. But maybe go ahead, Dan.
No, I was just going to say, maybe it'll go another way, Dan. And I was staying off the air, it might be Star Wars, but the way that sits there and everything else, how do you know it won't become a big Pixar deal in there?
Yeah, because it's close to there. It's kind of, well, it's in the center of the park, or close to the center of the park. So, yeah, you're right. Either Toy Story or Star Wars could grab it. Yeah. You could make an argument for both.
Yeah, where it's geographically set, I mean, the Toy Story stuff is right behind it.
Yep. No, you're right, Doug.
Yeah, because the Star Wars stuff is more off to the left side, back by, you know, where Lights, Murder, Action, all that stuff was, and the streets of New York and that whole area. So I don't know if maybe the Chinese theater – Disney did buy that, didn't they, Dan? They own that now, don't they? Didn't they take it over?
No, I don't believe so. I think they just negotiated a, you know, a contract to use the name and likeness. I don't think they own it. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I thought that they had that big feud, and then that's why the hat went up and it got covered there for a while. Then I think Disney took it over, but I could be wrong too. But either way, I would like to see the theater stay there, but in some ways they might change it to make it more – maybe a better backdrop for all these light shows and stuff they're eventually going to do. I mean, they have it set up very good. Like, the new shows they put on there was really awesome. But they are limited by – because that building isn't as big as what – the other parks have. Like, it's nowhere near as big as the Tree of Life or Spaceship Earth or the castle.
Right.
So they have limited area to shoot this stuff on. So they might, I mean, in a way, I'm thinking they might change it. And then on the other hand, if they keep it, maybe Pixar and Toy Story goes in there, because it's more centered in that area. What's your thoughts, John?
Well, you know, there had been the rumors for forever for the Monsters, Inc. roller coaster that was supposed to go into Hollywood Studios. So, and I think if they gutted that entire building, that would probably be big enough to put that, because it was supposed to be an indoor coaster where you rode the doors, you know, like at the end of Monsters, Inc. So that would be a cool fit. So
yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, and that would fit in with the whole, you know, Pixar theme and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I'd like that attraction, because I like Monsters, Inc., that's one of my favorite Pixar movies, I still I wouldn't want to see it come at the expense of the great movie ride. But if that's what happens, again, I'll take my ball and go home, and I understand things change, and, you know, it's inevitable. But, and, you know, it's just going to be, like I said, one of those sentimental attractions for me and my family that we're really going to miss, because it just, you know, that's something we do at least once, usually twice, every time we're at the studios.
Well, I think that there's only going to be four or five things that survives this entire renovation. Toy Story, Midway Mania, of course, Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, Star Tours, and maybe Beauty and the Beast. Well, as of right now, just because of how big it got again with the new movie and everything, so it does have a new little, it had a little spark set into it. But even that might go. And I'm sorry, Fantasmic. But they're the only things possible to stay, and I'm not even sure if Fantasmic makes it. Because it isn't like
Muppet Vision.
Dude, that has been on life support for years now. I love it, but to face it, they keep trying to do things with the Muppets, and nothing seems to make it.
They can't get any run with the Muppets. You're right. It just, you know, we went through this. The movies that came out, and they were successful, but they weren't blockbusters. And I think that, you know, Disney's a little scared to really invest in that franchise, because, you know, they just seem they can't get a, you know, like I said, a blockbuster hit movie that would support, you know, all the merchandise and all the other things that go along with it. So they've been a little shy to, like I said, invest or, you know, come on, at least give us a new movie at least. But they've yet to do so.
The sad part is other than us, it's Waldorf and Statler, the two of us, I think that's the most that the Muppets are ever talked about is on our show. I mean, on any other podcast I listen to, when's the last time you've heard anybody mention the Muppets?
Nah, very, very rarely. I mean, it's one of those things. And again, they're not even my most favorite characters, to be honest, but I really enjoy that particular show. I think it's, you know, it was one of the first, you know, 3D type experiences there. And I love it. You know, although as much as I do love it, I do want a new movie in there at minimum. And, you know, I would even go for a new attraction if Disney would do it. But it doesn't look like it's going to happen.
No, I like the Muppets myself, and I want to see that all the time. My wife sometimes, she looks at me like, when I'm sitting there in the seat, and I know she loves me to death, and for some reason, I don't know why, but she'll look at me sometimes when I'm sitting there, and I drag her in to watch that again, like, look at this fool. Like, I put her in the seat, and I don't know if you guys, and I know you do this to your wives, there's certain things you make them do that you know they're only doing because they love you.
Yeah.
And every time I make her sit and watch Muppets, she looks at me, and I think maybe she thinks a little bit less of me until that show's over. Like,
yeah.
I get to look at, like, why are we in here again, you know? But yeah. I love that attraction.
Yeah, my wife's the same way. She, in fact, usually – no, I shouldn't say usually, but every other time, she won't even go in, and she's had enough of that,
yeah.
You know.
I mean, I can see it as plain as day. I'm sitting in them red chairs right now, and I'm feeling like – I'm getting stared at, like, through my head, like, looking like, what's going on inside there that you have to sit through this again? Like, we could be doing so many other things. But
right.
I do want something else new. But the other point I was trying to make is, even with the kids, like my godson's children, you know, Peyton and Addison, I see nothing around of Muppets. Do you see any kids, anything to do with Muppets? You go to the store, you don't hear anything about Muppets. It's like I don't understand how they're still thriving. How it's even a thought, because nobody seems to. John, do you see any sales or anything, even on eBay, do you see anything with Muppets?
No, not a whole lot. I mean, like Dennis said, the movies came out and there was a little bit of a pop after the first one, because the first one did pretty good. And then after the second one, it didn't do very well at all. So, yeah, there's not a whole lot of merchandise or anything out for it. So.
No, the point I was making, though, that if I had a bet on the rides that we're going to make, it is – Hollywood Studios is going to be so much different. I mean, I don't even know if Aerosmith and Tower of Terror are still going to be the names of those two rides by the time it's open.
Right, because the Guardians of the Galaxy, there's rumors that, you know, what they did out in California may come here, and they may give that a facelift or a retheming, I guess you'd call it. And you're right, there's been rumors that, you know, Aerosmith, because, you know, face it, you know, younger generations coming along, they're not particularly, you know, fond of Aerosmith, or it's just an old band that they're not interested in. So at some point, it's going to change, and you know, whether it's this decade or the next decade, eventually it's going to change, because nobody's going to know who these people are at some point.
Exactly. So that's the whole deal I'm thinking. I'm thinking that everything's pretty much – the only thing I could totally 100% to my opinion – say is going to be the exact same name in that entire – the two things, Star Tours and Toy Story Midway Mania. Anything else could go as far as the name or the change of the facade, because why would Disney want to continue to pay for the rights to have the Hollywood Tower of Terror when they own Guardians of the Galaxy?
Right, right. Why spend money that you don't have to, when if you have the rights and name to other things, use that instead of, you know, paying somebody else to use it.
I don't get it. I think those two are going to be the only two rides that keep their names, is Toy Story and Star Tours. I don't see anything else you could 100% guarantee it's going to be there.
Right, right. Yeah, in 5 years, it's like I keep saying, it may shoot up to the you know, number two park by then, because it's going to be so new. Everything's going to be either brand new or has been, you know, rethemed or changed in name. And it's going to be exciting again, you know, even though, with, like we said today with this rumor, there are going to be some disappointments along the way for those have been us that have been going there for so many years, because some of our old favorites will be gone. But, you know, there'll be new and exciting things to come, and I'm sure we'll enjoy some of those things, and all will be well.
Yeah, we got to get through this show now, because I can't wait to hear what the hell happened to John.
Yeah, it's a boy, yeah.
I mean, I'm thinking there was a ransom note or something going on here. I can't wait
to hear.
Nothing
quite that dramatic.
Wait, I can't wait to hear.
Maybe they ran out of beer or something. I don't know.
Well, that's going to be it for this week's episode.
All right, next story. Mobile order to launch next week at Pizzafari. Disney is continuing to roll out of the mobile order at its quick service restaurants, with Pizzafari at Disney's Animal Kingdom set to go live on June 6th. Mobile order allows you to pay for meals on the go within the My Disney Experience app, bypassing the queue to order at the restaurant. Using the app, you can select menu items, customize an order, and prepay for a meal. Arriving at the restaurant, you'll tap an I'm Here button in the app, which will notify the kitchen to prepare the meal. When ready, you'll be alerted through the app to pick up the meal at the designated window. Only credit card payments will be accepted via mobile order. Disney Dining Plan guests will have to use the regular line. Mobile order launched last month in the new Canteen in Pandora.
That place.
Satuli? Go ahead, John.
That place.
Yes, okay. So. That works. The World of Avatar. We mentioned this, that they would be bringing more restaurants onto the app way to pay. And I guess it's a good thing. I'm interested to hear how people make out with this and how much of a time saver it really is, or if it is a time saver at all. It'll be interesting to see.
Now, is it just credit cards, or can you use your debit card too?
I would say you could use your debit card. Most places will take credit or debit either way, I'm assuming. Or maybe if you have to put in a PIN with your debit card, I don't know if you'd be able to do that. Good question, but it doesn't say in the article.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that. But I kind of do like this as far as for, like, Pizzafari and, like, but I don't think if they, like, where would they find that room at Columbia Harbor House to do something like this? You barely have room for what you have now.
Cut a hole in the roof and you parachute in for this stuff.
I mean, I don't know. There's certain places I don't think they'll be able to do it. What do you think?
For room reasons, because you're right. It does sound like there's going to be a designated line just for people using this this app. So, you're right. Some places just flat may not be able to do it because of space, lack of space.
You know where this would have worked great at back in the day, because I think Cosmic Rays has changed now to where every bay has the same menu. But you remember correctly, a couple of years ago, Cosmic Rays was, I would go wait for a pork sandwich for my wife, a hamburger for my son, and then get me a chicken sandwich at another window. And you had to get in line three different times for three different things. And if that would have been like that, where you could have ordered it all in one spot, you know, and picked it up, that would have been a lot more convenient.
So. Yes.
The only thing I don't like about it is, and this is where I'm crazy, and you guys all know I am anyway, but the thing that gets me is there's times where I'll get in line and I'll see something come out the window or see somebody else have something, and I'll change my mind on what I'm getting. I don't really know a lot of times until I'm at dinner.
Yeah, no, Doug, I do that all the time. Sometimes I'm going back and forth, and then I'll order something, and I'll get it, and I say, why didn't I get the other thing I wanted? You're right. I do that all the time.
Now, I mean, things change. You go in the restaurant. You smell it. You see it. And it, I don't like pre-ordering. Like, the last time I went with Brenda, that's how we ended up at Rose and Crown twice, because the first time we get there, we were all getting the bangers, and then she got there, and she wanted the salmon. And I'm glad she did, because I had some of it, which was awesome. But the thing is, we don't know until you sit your butt down a lot. And that's some of the beauty of doing lunch and dinner at these places. I mean, they're decorated so beautifully and look so nice. And Everything is in and out now. I mean, the idea of going to Disney World is and taking your time and enjoying the place. Now it's turned into a foot race every time. Everything has to be expedited, and in some ways, expediting ain't good, in my opinion.
No, because you're right, Doug. That's the whole point of Disney World. If you just wanted thrill coasters and stuff, there's probably other parks you could go to accomplish that. The point of Disney is taking in, you know, the ambiance and the beauty of the park and, you know, the queue lines and just observing stuff and sounds and sights and smells and all that stuff. And you're right. Now people got their head in their cell phones and they're running from, you know, e-attraction to e-attraction. And you, to me, they're missing out on the best part of Disney World.
Exactly. Why the hell don't they put drive-through windows on all the restaurants? Have Citricos. You walk around the outside of the building, grab your meal, and walk into the – I mean, it's like right. Everything has to be fast. It's like the beauty of eating is to slow down and relax a little bit. I'm working all week. I don't want to go through a drive-through. I don't like going through the McDonald's drive-through window at home, let alone at Disney World. Right. I want to enjoy wherever I'm eating. Like half of these counter-service restaurants, in my opinion, are an experience. What's your thoughts, John, on that?
Yeah, well, like I said, the Cosmic Rays, it would have been quite convenient. But otherwise, I mean, the lines never take longer than, 10, 15 minutes at the max anyway. And most of the time they're handing out menus and you're looking through it and you're getting the sights and the sounds of the restaurant. I can't imagine eating at Columbia Harbor House without, you know, waiting in line there. And
with your menu
upstairs,
in your hand.
So.
And then as the food's passing you by, you're like, oh, do I get that? Do I get that? It's like the fun is choosing. If I'm sitting there on my phone, what the heck? I mean, I might as well eat outside the park.
Yeah. Well, I guess in this case, for me, as long as they keep this optional and you don't have to use it, I mean,
I'm okay
that's
with
fine.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Like people that know what they want, you know, 3 months from now or whatever, that's fine. Or even before they even get to the restaurant, that's fine. But for those folks like yourself that want to have the ability to, you know, kind of choose on the fly, I hope that, you know, stays and you know, they don't say, oh, this is so successful. Now the only way you can order to eat at a particular quick serve is to use the app. You know, that would not be good in my mind anyways.
No, like it's the younger generation. Everything is go, go, go. You know, like I said, I see my godson at his party. You see three of them sitting on the couch all on their phones. Why are you even having this?
Yeah. Do you want to dance?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad. Exactly. Go ahead to the next one.
All right. Doug may have a comment on this one. I don't know.
No,
Preferred parking comes to Disney Springs starting June 1st. Beginning June 1st, 2017, Disney Springs will offer a preferred parking option for guests. For $10, you can park in the Grapefruit Lot on the west side near Cirque du Soleil or the Lemon Lot near World of Disney in the Marketplace. Both preferred parking locations are surface lots, with parking in the garages and other lots remaining free of all charge for guests for the time being. I added that last sentence.
Yeah, I hear you.
Disney also offers valet parking at Disney Springs at a cost of $20. Carmen will be happy. Oh, no, that was Judith that did that. Plus gratuity. So $20 plus gratuity for valet. It's located on the west side near Cirque du Soleil, the town center near the entrance to the Orange Garage and the Marketplace in front of Basin. The introduction of preferred parking began at the main theme parks in March 2016, where it cost $40 per day. Disney later added to the main parks with preferred parking at the water parks. With the addition of preferred parking at Disney Springs, only the resort hotels remain as an additional parking revenue source, and speculation suggests that changes to parking at the resorts is planned. That's interesting too. All right, Doug.
No, it's just so sad. I mean, anybody that, and I'm just saying, and I love you guys as our listeners and our friends and everything else like that. But if you start paying for, I mean, when are you going to stop? I mean, if you pay for this, when the parking in the garages are perfect, like why would you want to have to prefer park in that parking lot?
Well, you know where one of the parking lots they're talking about is the place where I had parked my truck when I met you guys for coffee that morning. So, yeah. I mean, that's a heck of a lot farther away from everything than where you guys parked in the parking garage. I mean, why would you want to pay for that? I don't understand. So.
I mean, just out of principle, guys, don't do it. I mean, it has to stop. The only way it's going to stop is if you don't do it. And I would not – I would – and if you're that bad, you can't walk an extra 10 feet if you have to, there's a problem there. I mean, you need the exercise anyway. Parking the garages for free, they're nice. I mean, I brag about how beautiful these garages are all the time.
Yep.
I mean, I don't get it.
No. I mean, again, we'll see how it goes. But my read on this, if you will, is that, you know, they'll go with this preferred parking, optional, or whatever you want to call it, for a couple of years. But eventually I could see it rolling out where it's going to be a buck or two to park in the lots. And it'll be, it's a revenue source sitting there that they know it's easy money. And what's a buck? What's $2? And then it'll be 5 and 10 and we'll be off to the races.
No, I
don't
know. I can see a flat rate of $100 for parking for your week. On property. Yeah. I see that happening like sooner than later, dude. And it's so sad. Are they going to charge you more? Because, see, this is where I'm pissed off and I talk about all the god darn transportation. We keep paying for all these extras. They're realizing now people don't want to pay it, so we're keeping our cars now. We're going from resort. We're using our cars. So now that we're using our cars because their transportation is inadequate, now they're realizing, whoa, now everybody's in your car. We're going to hit them on that end. Yeah, that's where I feel this came from.
Yeah, it's like filling up a bucket of water with a bunch of holes in it, and you plug one hole, and then, you know, the others leak, or a new hole develops, and the Disney will be, you know, figuring out what the guests are doing, like you're saying, and they're going to plug that hole and get their money one way or another. So it's sad to say, but, you know, eventually – you know, not eventually, but there's going to be maintenance and upkeep that are going to be needed to be made to those garages because, you know, they're going to be used so much, or they are used so much, that they're going to have to repave and do the roof and this and that and the other thing. And they're going to sit in a boardroom and say, well, how can we offset these millions of dollars in maintenance fees? They're going to say, well, you know, we can put metering in, or we can put, you know, like any downtown or municipality, you know, you got to have a meter, and it's going to cost you, you know, for time to park in the garage. It's inevitable. It's coming. I know it is.
I can see things coming as far as like how I book dinner at GECO. So if I want to drive from Riverside over to GECO, I'm going to have to pay $5 or $10 to park in that parking lot that night. That's the stuff. That's what I could see happening. Or you could pay a flat fee of $100 to park wherever you want for the week. And they're doing this, like I said, because all of our friends now are using their cars. Almost every one of our vlogging friends, podcast friends, almost every time you read or watch a vlog, they're driving now, where before they all used the Disney transportation. Why is that? Why all of a sudden is everybody driving?
Yeah, it's the fastest way to get from point A to point B on property, without a doubt.
Yeah, so now they're going to get you for that. They're going to gouge you. I mean, it might be where you park your car and you stay there, you're fine. But as soon as you start moving it to go from park to park or resort to resort, they're going to start hitting you over the head with it.
Yep, I can see that happening very, very easily. We'll monitor this, but, you know, it's coming.
It's sad, but true.
Let's see what this is. Pandora, the World of Avatar operational update. Pandora, the World of Avatar is now into its first week, or in this case, the first week just concluded of its first opening at Disney's Animal Kingdom. And here's a brief update on the current operational status. Lines to enter Pandora. The long lines to enter Pandora have thankfully gone, and for the last few days of the week, there have been no waits to enter the land. The Memorial Day long weekend, combined with the new land's grand opening, obviously played a large role in those early lines. Operations still has the queue set up outside the land before the Pandora Bridge, so there remains the possibility that lines may occur on particularly busy days at the park. Pandora queues. The two main attractions continue to draw heavy crowds, with standby wait times typically being around 3 hours for Flight of Passage and 2 hours for Navi River Journey. Although Flight of Passage is equipped with a single rider line, it has not yet been put into operation. Arriving first thing continues to be the best option for minimal wait times. Queues are also persisting to enter the line's Wind Traders merchandise store. Although busy, the Satuli Canteen continue is not experiencing significant wait times to enter, and food service is very quick. Early entry to Pandora. Pandora is continuing to open before the official park opening time. Hours throughout the summer are 8 a.m. to 11 p.m., and guests are entering Pandora between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. on non-early magic hours days, although the times have varied so far. Evening closures, evening extra magic hours for Disney Resort hotel guests begins each day at 11 p.m., and to make space for the arriving guests, rides in Pandora have been closing to standby day guests well before the park, the 11 p.m. park close. We have seen closures between 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. so far. Pandora evening extra magic hours. Resort guests have begun queuing for flights of passage around 9:30 p.m. with entry into the ride beginning before the official. I lost my place here. The official 11 p.m. start of the early magic hours. It is important to note that once the capacity of the ride has been reached during early magic hours, no more guests are allowed into the queue, which may occur even before the 11 p.m. Early magic hour official start time. If you are visiting for the evening, early magic hours arriving at 11 p.m. will likely be too late to ride flights of passage. So I guess the as always with Disney parks or any parks for that matter, the early bird gets the worm, where they're opening up, you know, Pandora an hour before the official park opening. The earlier you can get there, particularly if you don't have a fast pass, the best chance you'll have to get into the standby line first, or pretty much first, and you'll be able to ride it without a long wait.
Yeah, right now, Pandora's, the two rides in Pandora, the Navi River is 80-minute wait right now. And Flights of Passage, or I call the Banshee ride, and that is 175 minutes. So that one is 3 hours as of right now.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I won't be doing standby for either of those, and I think we said that last week. But, you know, I don't know if I could get my my clan up and going to get there before an hour before park opening. That would be tough. So hopefully I can snag some fast passes. And if not, I may have to wait till next trip.
Well, you do the, let me and your, maybe you and your son-in-law could run over and do something while they're getting ready.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's an option.
Well, you could make it like, let me and my boy, let us, you know, whatchamacallit, what do they call that? Used to, getting together. What do they call that when two guys
rendezvous?
I'm losing the word, but let you two bond. This would be me and my son-in-law's bonding moment. We're going to head to Pandora early. We're going to go grab breakfast and head to Pandora. You two could use that as the excuse. You're going to go bond for a little bit.
Yeah, I like that.
There you go. But the positive thing is Dinosaur and Everest is only a 30-minute wait.
Yeah, so that's for every yin, there's a yang, right? There's always a benefit to some bad news, and that's it. The other attractions will experience less wait times than you're accustomed.
Yeah, it ain't the first time I've been called a yang, Dennis, so it won't be the last. Needless to say, you need fast passes, and on my next trip, I'm not going to be able to get them.
Yeah, that's you've told that story before, and that's they got to change that system.
Yep, I got on and barked about it. They're tired of hearing from me. They're not sending me any letters saying thanks for being persistent. I'll tell you that much. What's up next, then?
Yeah, refurbishment impact to water and fireworks views at Narcosis. A refurbishment is underway at the Grand Floridian Resort Narcosis restaurant, which will impact water and firework views from the restaurant. The exterior painting work with scaffolding will prevent views of the Seven Seas Lagoon and the Magic Kingdom's fireworks through to mid-June 2017. Guests with dinner reservations at the restaurant are being directed to Narcosis Landing outside of the restaurant for private fireworks viewing. I've never watched them from here. Have either of you two?
No, I've never seen the actual fireworks from there. Okay. But I've everything I've heard, it's a great view. It the restaurant's right there on the water, so it has to be a great view. John, have you?
No, we sat outside the Gasparilla Grill and watched them, but not from Narcoossee's, nah.
Okay.
No, but it is a beautiful restaurant.
Yeah, I got to get over there. Another one on my list.
Yeah, there's so many, isn't there? I heard they're doing discount dining for why this is going on, too.
Oh, yeah, they're going to shave off a couple bucks an entree while this is going on for the inconvenience.
Absolutely, you know. They're probably going to charge you $5 more to pay for a couple paintbrushes per table.
Yeah. But again, that's why it's important to either use a TA or really study up before you go on a trip to Walt Disney World. Because if you booked a trip, an ADR at Narcoossee's solely for the ability to see the Magic Kingdom fireworks, you might be a little disappointed, although it's only a couple of weeks here. But if it's during your trip, you would be very disappointed.
Absolutely. I mean, and there are the things that I guarantee I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to call and see if there's any availability at Narcoossee's. Like I'm calling for – I'll pretend I'm calling for myself. And I'm going to say these dates on one of these dates, see if there's any availability, to see if the cast member actually divulges that that I cannot see the fireworks.
Right. That'd be a good exercise to do just to see if they even say anything at all.
Exactly.
My guess is they won't.
And I think that's wrong, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think they should disclose that. Even though I'm assuming it's kind of like the Rose and Crown, that you can book an ADR there, but you probably can't book specifically fireworks viewing. There's only a limited amount of tables that have that view, right? So it's luck of the draw. So.
Well, this is a lot better than Rose and Crown because it's like twice the size and the windows are a lot bigger. Like you can – even the inside tables, you can see the Magic Kingdom at night when it's lit up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's one of the reasons why you go there. Wouldn't you agree with that, John?
Yeah, I think the view is an important part. I mean, the food's supposed to be delicious, but the view of checking out the Magic Kingdom at night is probably the leading factor.
And not even just that, like most of the, even almost all of the seats in there, you could see the lagoon, or you see water. There's a view out the window. That's one of the beauties of this restaurant. It's like the way it's shaped, the entire restaurant is outside viewing. It has views all the way around.
Yeah, I think I know what you're saying. It's kind of like the California Grill. Yeah, there are tables that are right up against the windows, but even if you're two or three tables deep into the restaurant, you still can look out those windows and see. So I understand what you're saying. It's not just like there's 10 tables that you can see the fireworks from. It's probably at least half of the restaurant, if not more.
Exactly. You're seeing lights. You're included. It's part of the experience of eating there is the view of the place. The food is phenomenal, but the view is, you know, it's like the Cali Grill. The Cali Grill didn't have the view. The restaurant is phenomenal, but one of the reasons why it's so great is the view. If you take that away, it's just not another restaurant, but it's not your go-to place. You wouldn't have eaten there as many times as you have if it wasn't for the whole package.
Agree.
So if those windows were blocked off being redone for a couple weeks, it would kind of piss you off if you had dinner reservations there.
Absolutely.
If they didn't tell you. So that's the point. I might try to make a phone call just to see if I get told that it's under construction.
All right. We'll wait till next week and get a full report.
All right. Go ahead. What's next? Before this becomes a four-hour tour, the weather started getting rough. The tiny ship was tossed.
This story might bother you, too, but we'll see. Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill to open in the town center at Disney Springs. Disney has today announced a new Wolfgang Puck restaurant will open in the town center at the Springs in 2018. Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill will modernize the traditional bar and grill concept in a setting inspired by traditional farmhouses with a touch of elegance. The restaurant will capture the essence of a laid-back California dining made popular by Puck at Spago, his flagship restaurant in Los Angeles. The menu will highlight the best of Puck's signature dishes and Mediterranean influences, innovative takes on comfort food classics, and handcrafted specialty cocktails, beer, and wine. The new Wolfgang Puck bar and grill will be built on the empty space next to the Coca-Cola across from Planet Hollywood. The Levy Restaurants operated Wolfgang Puck location on the west side will have its final day of operation on August 1st, 2017 to be replaced by J-Lo. The new Wolfgang Puck Express in the marketplace will continue to operate as normal. So we're going to get a new restaurant, but the Wolfgang Puck restaurant on the west side will close in lieu of this new restaurant. No, what do you think?
I'm not upset about it at all. I'm actually excited about it. I mean, the designs that I've seen look really cool. From what the designs I've seen, it kind of looks like a barn, which is really cool looking, the design of it. And I'm excited about it because it's something new again, because we've all said that all the old restaurants need to do something to up their game because they're not going to work the way they sit presently.
Yep, you're right. We said they would get a facelift, and in this case, it's a lot more than a facelift. We're getting a full brand new restaurant. So, yeah, I guess that's fine. If they were taking Wolfgang Westside away without replacing it, that would be a different story. But I'm sure this will be bigger and better, and it'll be a good thing when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I'm almost positive that next is going to be Gloria Estefan's, and they all have to do it, like we just see with Portobello. Portobello, yep. They redid that not long ago.
Yeah, you're
it wasn't
right.
Like forever, I mean, but it wasn't that long. If it wasn't for all the other restaurants up in their game, Portobello would have stayed the same. But they realized, whoa, and Levy owns them too. So this will be at least the third restaurant Levy owns. They also own the Rainforest, and they also own the T-Rex. So yep. This is going to be the fifth restaurant that I know of at least in the Springs that they own.
Yeah. They own Yak and Yeti, too, don't they?
Yeah, but yes. That's in the Animal Kingdom, yeah, but you're
okay.
Right.
Okay, yeah, just in the Springs, yeah.
Yeah, T-Rex, Rainforest, Paddlefish, Portobello, and now they own Wolfgang Puck. That's five restaurants in the Springs alone, downtown the Disney Springs area.
Right.
They must be doing some kind of business to be able to buy another one and build it.
Yeah. At $50 a plate, they can afford that.
Yeah. And what's next, Dan? You're going to tell me about another new restaurant.
Yeah. Hold on here. Let my iPad. J-Lo by Jose Andres to open in Disney Springs West Side in 2018. J-Lo, a concept by world-renowned chef Jose Andres, Think Food Group, will open on the West Side in 2018, bringing the spirit of and flavors of Spain with an extensive menu of tapas that reflect the rich regional diversity of the traditional and contemporary Spanish cuisine. Menu items at J-Lo Disney Springs will include paella cooked over a wood fire, hand-carved jamón rico de bolito, and wood-grilled Iberico pork. With five locations in the United States and Mexico City, this will be the first location in Florida. Excuse me. The first floor of the multi-level restaurant will feature grab-and-go storefront with Spanish-style sandwiches. The Levy Restaurants operated Wolfgang Puck location on the west side will have its final day of operation on August 1st to be replaced by J-Lo. The Wolfgang Puck Express in the marketplace will continue to operate, as we just reported on the earlier news item. A new Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill will open in the town center, as we just covered. So this place is going in where the
Wolfgang was.
Okay. Now I get it. I wish I would have read this story first, but
well,
that's
they didn't
okay.
have them in that order, so you had no choice.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to blame you.
Okay, thank
you. I blame you for enough things, but I'll let you slide for this.
All right.
I'm happy about it, but what's left? I mean, you got House of Blues and Gloria Estefan's. Is there any other place that hasn't remodeled that's a sit-down restaurant?
Yeah. What about Paradiso?
That's kind of new.
I consider that new, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
That was the start of the Springs.
Right. Even though when that was new, that I think that was there even when they announced that the first version of Disney Springs, when they, you know, released all them artist renderings and all that for a year and then they changed it. I think that
was when they were going to call it Hyperion Wharf. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think they, and I could be wrong, so don't yell at me, but I think when they redid the springs, I think they redid a lot of the facade and added some of that outside stuff to Paradiso, because there's the outside seating there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think when all that construction was done, they actually did a minor update to Paradiso. So all that area in where Paradiso, Boathouse, Yak and Yeti, Raglan Road's the only thing that didn't get redone. But with everything built around it, it looks new. It does look different. Tell me Raglan Road don't look like a totally different restaurant with the way everything is built around it now compared to the way it used to be. The way it used to be, it was like you didn't know how to get in, get out. It just seemed like it was weird. Now it's set up so much better. Don't you agree?
Yeah, because I think as you come around the corner there, you almost funneled right into the door. If not, you head up the hill there and off you go. But you're right. It is, without changing anything on the building, the things that have changed around it, it's a different feel. I was sitting on a bench across from Raglan Road, almost right, look across from the door from Morimoto Asia, and I was just looking at the whole area, and if you look one way, it looked like the old, marketplace that we all grew up with going to Disney, and you look the other way, and it looked like I was in a totally different, place. So I understand what you're saying, Doug, and I agree.
And the outside area where the bands and all plays now, that wasn't really the way it was before the Springs was redone. Don't you guys agree with me? It's a little more set up better for the bands to play outside compared to where it was when it originally opened.
Yeah, it's hard even remembering how it looked before because it's just so different. And the pedestrian flows of people coming in and around that area is different now because you can get around where you couldn't before. And there's I don't know. I think they've even widened the walkways. I know they did. I mean, there's a lot more room to get by there than there used to be, whether they extended out into the little waterway there or I don't know what they did, but it just feels a little roomier over that way, to me.
Basically, it got an exterior facelift without the building changing. Like, where the bands and all play and that whole area there is much better. So, basically, everything on that side is new. And now they're moving, as it looks, to the west side. And I'm pretty sure – I can't see House of Blues and Gloria Estefan's not – either Gloria Estefan's moving, changing, or redoing. I can't see those two restaurants surviving without an update.
Right. Maybe they can take down the pineapple and put up a big orange or something.
Yeah, whatever. But, I don't know how much longer – I mean, I don't know. With all the trips I booked, I can't remember the last ADR I even booked for that place. I don't even think about it until we talk about all the other places, and it's a shame.
Yeah, we covered this, and you did a good job of kind of defending it because you said it's actually a pretty good place, and I had never eaten there, and it doesn't appeal to me, and it never even crosses my mind, and why, I don't know, but it's just not a restaurant that I just want to go to, and I have no reason for that. I haven't heard particularly bad things about it, but that's kind of the point you're making, Doug. You don't hear anything about it, at least good or bad. I mean, and that's a bad sign.
And for me to defend it now, it's kind of hard because it's been about 10 years since I've eaten there.
Right.
I enjoyed myself. I told the whole Tony Montana story, the whole nine yards. I had a great time in there. The Cuban beer was awesome, as the guy told me. Dougie, you need to drink Cuban beer. I said, well, I'll have a – is that a Cuban beer or a Cuban beer? And he started laughing, but I'll have a Cuban beer then. And it was very good because I tried to order Stinking Coors Light. You guys can all pick on me. But anyway, he goes, no, Dougie, you drink Cuban beer. I said, okay, Cuban beer. My wife's like, why are you talking like him? I said, I don't know. He made me. But it was funny. I mean, but the restaurant was very good. But it's been 10 years, so I don't know how the standards are now, or I couldn't argue for it because I have no clue. But it's sad because something's going to be done with it because that's prime real estate.
Oh, yes. It's almost at the crossroads, when you're coming from the, the old marketplace over the bridge there. And as you walk down the, down in front of all the stores and stuff, I mean, that pineapple, I remember the first time I saw it, I thought it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. Look at the giant pineapple, you know, and it, you know, even as an icon down there under the old West Side before all this construction, it was kind of one of the most fascinating looking buildings down there, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. That's what made us eat there. My wife likes that kind of food. She likes because they have a lot of fruits and vegetables. They cook with a lot of healthy stuff, and that's why we liked eating there. And it was nice, and it has a beautiful view. I mean, that's like the perfect view of Wonders of Flight there when the balloon goes up, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, you're right there, so I can't see – something's going to have to happen with that building sooner or later. And we got no rumors. Nobody told us anything about it, but just by looking – reading the tea leaves, I can see, or reading the tarot cards, you know something's going there.
Well – We didn't hear, at least I didn't hear anything about this Wolfgang Puck thing. So, you know, for all we know, we're reading an article about it next week on the show.
Exactly. But we've said for a long time now that something's going to have to happen with them.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. And I think it will. I think it will. It's just a matter of, you know, they've been doing this in phases and, you know, one thing after another. And I'll bet you within 6 months we're going to hear something about this restaurant.
No, absolutely. Both of them. I could see something with the Blues, too.
Yep. Agreed.
How often do you hear House of Blues? I mean, the way it's hidden back there in the corner, thank God for the Sunday brunch.
Well, and like John said.
And they play stuff in there. They have shows.
Yeah, they actually have groups come in. So
I think
That's the only time I ever see a crowd over there, though, is when there's a group playing in there. So,
And not to pick on them, but I can't see how much longer. I mean, they used to own part of the Showboat Casino down here, and that's been going for years. I mean, House of Blues was a big thing there for a lot of years, and you don't hear anything about it unless we talk about it. So I don't see that lasting too much longer myself down there.
There used to be a House of Blues right outside of Fenway Park. Actually, if you can envision it like you see it on TV, right behind the left field wall, there's a street that goes right under that. And there was a huge House of Blues back there, and it's been closed for years as well, Doug.
See, that's why I'm surprised, because the only one I know of, I think there might be something out in Vegas still, was that Jim Belushi and Dan Aykroyd owned them. Because they were big in part of – they had part of the Showboat there for a while. They saved the Showboat for a while, and I think them saving the Showboat might have been one of the reasons why the restaurant failed, because the Showboat was hurt. I know nothing. I'm just speculating here, but that's the way it looked like when it was in trouble before that, and I think they did too much trying to save that, and it might have hurt other things. But the bottom line is, we used to hear about the House of Blues, used to have it on commercials everywhere else. The only one I know of left is in Disney World.
Yeah, and if you remember, even, when you turn on the resort TV, they used to play up the House of Blues quite a bit. I mean, it might still be in the, kind of the commercial package there.
The rotation.
But I don't think it's the focal point that it once was, Doug. I agree.
No, so I could see something going on in that whole area down there. They could create another place to do shows. So.
Yeah, that's easy enough, and you're right. They could build a whole new building if they wanted to, just for concerts or whatever, if that's what they want to do.
Yeah, and who knows? That might be part of the whole new Wide World of Sports area. They're building those buildings over there, and why couldn't they throw the concerts in there and try to get more people to that area? And also with everything going on with the Coronado and Caribbean Beach, who knows what they're building with all this stuff? I mean, why would they want to give House of Blues the business and not just do it themselves? That's the way they seem to be going right now.
Yeah, kind of bringing more things back under the Disney umbrella, if you will.
Yeah, so they get all the money.
Well,
and
as
you can't blame them.
Yeah, but I mean, we used to complain about all the outsourcing. We'd prefer Disney to build the resorts and have their own Disney-owned and operated restaurants. At least that's my preference. But, you know, companies like Levy have done a good job for them, and they're popular with the guests, so you can't argue with that either. There's, you know, there's pros and cons to either one, but my view is it should be owned and operated by Disney whenever possible.
Well, the thing is, Lou Mangiello did a great interview on WDW Radio. He interviewed the creator and designer of the Levy, the T-Rex, and the Animal Kingdom. And the reason Disney felt they became partners is because what a phenomenal job he did with creating those two, them two restaurants to be like, that's what Disney would do. If you understand, they liked the way he designed restaurants, the theming. So that's why they became partners with him, kind of like the whole Pixar deal. I kind of look at Levy as the Pixar version of the restaurant division because they do a good job. Mm-hmm. What you would, if you didn't know they were Levy, you would think Disney did them restaurants because they are so well themed. So I don't mind them being there because they do go the extra effort to make their restaurants fit under the Disney umbrella. With the Yak and Yeti and the Rainforest and T-Rex, you have to admit, all three of them are awesomely themed restaurants.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I can't complain about that at all. I mean, you know, you want some of those restaurants that are gaudy and really in your face, like the, you know, the dinosaur that's sticking out of the side of the mountain or whatever it is over there at T-Rex and, you know, the Rainforest now. I mean, it. What is it, every 20 minutes or so, actually fire comes out of the top. It's even enhanced more than it ever was. It used to just be a little smoke that came out. Now it's an actual inferno, it looks like, up there when that thing goes off. So, Disney likes some of that. So I like some of that stuff to see exciting things. I mean, you know.
And they did a phenomenal job with the paddlefish. I mean, it couldn't be more beautiful, that redo of it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
So speaking of, like I said, a 4-hour tour. So you're headed to Epcot tomorrow, John?
Yeah. I've got an appointment over near Disney at 9:30 tomorrow morning. So I have to take my wife along and drop her off at Disney Springs and then pick her up when I'm done with the appointment and head over to Epcot for the afternoon.
That's going to be fun. We're looking forward to seeing some pictures. And you don't get to Epcot too often. You don't really tend to go there that often.
Yeah, you know, I just don't spend a whole lot of time there, do I?
So, we're looking forward to getting some pictures and let us know where you're roaming to tomorrow.
Yeah, next Sunday, I'll probably be at Animal Kingdom. So, I've got the fast passes for Flight of Passage that afternoon. So,
well, we're looking forward to a report on that. We can get you can let us know if the guys over at the Mickey Dudes were right, where he was saying it might be the best ride in all of Orlando.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah, so
I'm hoping you. I hope you concur. I hope it is that good because I've been on the side of Pandora the whole time, even though I'm not a big fan of the movie. Like the movie is kind of like Australia to me, or neutral. You know what I'm saying?
Switzerland.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry, Switzerland, Norway, and Australia. I confuse the three of them all the time. and Pat, the history teacher, he would never tell me I'm wrong anyway, because he. But anyway. You know, I'm like, you know, it's like neutral to me. I'm not either a fan for or against it, but I was for it just because of Animal Kingdom. So I'm hoping these rides are that good.
Well, did you hear that they've sold out of the Banshees in the gift shop? So now my wife's all been out of shape. We didn't get out there to get her one yet. So
at $50 a pop, they had no problem selling those. So get ready, folks. You'll be 75 by the time you get down there to buy them.
And the thing is, you know that's false because there's no way that they didn't have enough of those. I mean, give me a break. So you know that they have tried to make a shortage just so it's rarer.
Oh, it's like the Cabbage Patch dolls and all that stuff. You know,
exactly.
It'll be there.
Yeah, Disney does it right. They make a false, you know, I'm sure they're in production or they have a warehouse full of them and they'll be here soon. I mean, a couple of trips ago, they had the market cornered on, you probably remember this, John, or I think you might have even mentioned this when I brought this up last time, but somebody back home here wanted to have a Cinderella Coach popcorn not dispenser, but instead of getting a large popcorn and just a regular cardboard bowl or whatever, they had a Cinderella carriage that they filled with popcorn and was a souvenir. You know the one I'm talking about?
We've got one downstairs in front of the television.
Okay. So. Well, you know, what happened is, you know, a couple of people got them and they were raving about them, I don't know, on Twitter or Facebook, and they became all the craze. So a friend of ours went down there and her daughter was in the Cinderella and she wanted one. And the whole time they were there, they tried and tried and tried and, you know, they couldn't get them. They were out. They were sold out. So they asked us because we were going down a few weeks later or a few months. I forget what it was. And we were able to get one. But it was, you know, people were actually, you know, just they would pay you money on the spot. You know, here's $20 if you could get one, because I don't know if Disney was just releasing them, you know, slowly to create a buzz or whether or not they, you know, they actually had a bazillion of them. I don't know, but even something silly like a, you know, a popcorn, you know, holder, if you will, becomes popular. So maybe they're creating false buzz, if you will.
Well, exactly.
They probably are, but you know how that is. They'll be more available, like you said. Maybe they'll sell them over at the Joy of Tea.
Yeah, I'm going to Epcot tomorrow. Should I go? I think I'll go up to the Joy of Tea and you know, try to get that great priced combo that should be a whole lot more in all truth, you know.
Yeah.
Well, take some pictures of it. We'll post it on the site tomorrow. Because our good buddy, our good buddy Pat was down in Washington too, I think, this week with the kids, and I bet you he didn't see the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument. He probably stayed in his room the entire. He probably went to a Nationals game. And didn't see any of the history. Nah, yeah. Kid, you don't want to see the White House. Let's go to the baseball game. he's probably the first teacher history teacher in the world to go to Washington and not see any of the sites.
I think our Twitter feed's going to be lively this afternoon. I sense that.
Nah, we love our buddy Pat. We got to pick on him because we can. But that's going to be it for this week, guys. We babbled way, way too much. And we were all over the place, but that's what the Sunday show is for.
Yep.
So if you guys can, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. We haven't moaned and groaned enough about that. If you could, please go over and leave us a review. Head over to our website, It's All in WDW, and check out our fine sponsors. Our Garden Grocer ads will be up this week, and we'd appreciate if you use them. And we're sorry, Carmen, we know you wanted to. So if you already booked, we understand. But thank you for wanting to go through us. So those banners will be up this week. Guys, please head over and see John at Beer Solo and the Weekly Pint. Have you released any episodes over there lately, John?
Yeah, we've got one coming out this week that's going to be on some of the beer that I even forgot what beer we covered that week.
It must have been good if you don't remember.
Yeah.
Long as you didn't forget Victory, we're okay with that.
No, it wasn't Victory, so.
No, but head over to the Weekly Pine, check out John's latest beer capades over there. You can find Dennis at Oak Manor. You can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find Bob at It's All in WDW on Twitter and on Facebook. And you can find him at our website at It's All in WDW. You can find me, like I said, Grumpy6767 on Twitter. And you can find all of us goofy guys over at WDW Main Street. Everybody have a safe and blessed week. And we will talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. We're going to hop off our stools, close out our tabs, and call it a night here at the pub. We really appreciate you joining us. But if you could, before you leave, if you need a Disney vacation booked or any vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Also, if you need a scooter while you're in the Central Florida area for any of the Disney theme parks or anywhere in Central Florida, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will talk to you real soon.